Welcome back to the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO, broadcasting from the highest point in Youngstown, Ohio, the press box at Stambaugh Stadium here on the campus of Youngstown State. And again, my trip to Youngstown, sponsored by La Quinta Inn & Suites and your locally owned Stop & Go stores. Thank you very much to those folks for allowing me to come to Youngstown and blog and write and video and photograph and talk on the radio and do all the things that we modern media people have to do to earn our paychecks. The person you hear chuckling in the background is Joe Scolza. He is the Youngstown State beat writer for one of the greatly named newspapers in the country, the Youngstown Vindicator.
Yes.
Vindy.com, I believe, is your website if people want to go and find Joe's work on there. Joe, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. I'm a little sleepy. I took a nap right before I came here. So
had to get ready for us, did you? I appreciate that. What we were talking just before we went on air about the lack of ticket sales so far, lack of ticket distribution even for the game tomorrow. About 10,000 or so tickets distributed in a 20,000 seat stadium. What does that say about the Youngstown State football fans with this game coming up tomorrow? I see this as a big football game for the Penguins.
Yeah, I mean it's the biggest of their season, but there is a little bit of a wait and see attitude about this year's team, and it's kind of part of the lingering effect of the last couple years where they kind of got their hopes up and they had a couple bad losses to keep them out of the playoffs.
So break down this Youngstown State team for us. I think everybody listening in KFGO country knows about NDSU ad nauseum. They know everything to know about Brock Jensen and Colton Hegel and Marcus Williams and all those things, but what drives Youngstown State? Is it the quarterback, Kurt Hess, or is it somebody else or a combination or what?
Well, it's definitely the offense. I mean, Kurt Hess, he's a little bit like Brock Jensen in that a lot of what he does comes off the fact that they run the ball so well. I think Youngstown State has the best offense in the conference. The difference is that they don't have a defense anywhere near as good as North Dakota State, or their special teams have really struggled the last 2 weeks. But, I mean, offensively, Kurt is very efficient. He spreads the ball around to a lot of different guys, and they run the ball very well. And that's kind of like that's been true, I think, of all 4 years of the teams that Eric Wolfer's had here.
Is it an offense that's going to be able to keep the ball for a while and drive against North Dakota State's defense? Because I think people in Fargo even look back to last year's game at the Fargo Dome, where Youngstown came in, I think, as the third-ranked team in the country early in the season, albeit. NDSU was number one. It was a 7-7 game early on, and then all of a sudden, Hess threw an interception that Marcus Williams returned to the house, as we say in the business, 98 yards for a touchdown, and then the gates just opened, and NDSU just throttled them from there. So
yeah, it's an offense that's definitely set up to go 10 or 12 or 14 plays. It's not an offense that typically gets a lot of huge plays. The one exception was Illinois State, which plays a lot of man coverage and kind of opened that up. But I think what they're going to have to do against North Dakota State is put together those types of drives. Mm-hmm. And obviously not very many people can do that. But I think they can probably – I mean, I think North Dakota State's averaging 11 points a game on defense or something like
Something like that, number one in the country.
I think they can get in the 20s. I think they're going to be – they're going to need a couple special plays in order to pull the upset.
And, in Fargo, we've been talking so much about Grant Olson not playing after he tore up his knee last week against Illinois State, but sort of an unknown right now is whether or not Marcus Williams, the All-America cornerback, can play. He didn't play the second half against Illinois State, and last we know, because Craig Bohl doesn't tell us that, and he doesn't need to tell us that, but that would be a big thing, I think, for Youngstown if Marcus doesn't play.
Yeah, I think people are, if you look at that interception, you can kind of trace their funk that they went into for a month back to that interception. I don't know if it would have mattered in that game. I mean, if you watched it was a pretty overwhelming win, but, I think people are really kind of overlooking Grant's loss just because Carlton played so well in his place last week when he moved over, and I think people assume that whoever's a second-string linebacker is probably good enough to play anywhere else in the conference. But, Marcus is a special player. He makes plays, and I think Youngstown State would be delighted if he got another week to rest his knee.
Sure he would. Joe Scolza, he's the beat writer for Youngstown State for the Vindicator newspaper here in Youngstown. You said Youngstown's defense and special teams maybe aren't up to what they need to be, to be that top-level team in FCS. What's going on there? Is NDSU going to be able to move the ball with its offense, which also, by the way, is a 10, 15,
right.
18 play type of offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, special teams wise, they had played really well up until the last 2 weeks, and they've had a couple breakdowns. They had fumbled a kickoff return last week and had a punt blocked. But they've been pretty decent all year. I mean, I think the big weakness this year and throughout Wolford's era here has been the secondary, and that teams have been able to throw on them. And I think if you look at the upset that YSU pulled 2 years ago, they were able to get a little bit of pressure on Brock Jensen, whereas mm-hmm. last year he could have had a cup of coffee in his left hand, I think, for most of those pass plays. So that's going to be key for them.
Was that the biggest victory of Wolford's time here at Youngstown State, was beating NDSU up in Fargo a couple of years ago, or have there been some others? Because Youngstown's that program that, you know, and I've written and talked about this a lot over the last couple of days since I've been here, is back in the 1990s when Jim Tressel was coaching here, this was it. This was the 1AA program that everybody wanted to be. It hasn't quite been that way for a while. It's been a handful of years since the Penguins have even made the playoffs. So has that been it for Wolford? Was that big win against NDSU?
Yeah, they beat Pitt on the road last year to start the season.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And,
yep.
I mean, that kind of, it's apples and oranges, because what's more important, the conference or the FBS game. But the thing is, you know, they came off that win over North Dakota State 2 years ago, and then they had a 17-point lead at home to a terrible Missouri State team, and they ended up losing in the last couple seconds and missed the playoffs. So he's been able to win big games. He's just also been able to have those head-scratching losses that, I still don't know how they lost to Missouri State.
Is he in any kind of trouble this year if Youngstown would happen to lose tomorrow and then lose against South Dakota State to end the season? Is it a case where they might be looking for another coach?
Well, I mean, he's in the fourth year of a fifth-year deal. He hasn't got an extension. I think if he makes the playoffs, he gets an extension. The question is, I mean, if he loses the last three games this year, I don't know. I mean, what do you say? If he wins one of the last two, he gets the playoffs, he's probably fine. He's building a program. But at some point, you got to win some of these games. And I think that this year, especially in the end of last year, you're starting to see the fans kind of saying, look, we don't need you to be Jim Tressel, but the standard here is playoffs, and you're not getting it done.
Well, one thing that I've been so impressed with is the facilities here are tremendous. I mean, mm-hmm. You and I have both been to places like Macomb, Illinois, and Terre Haute, Indiana, and I don't know if you've been to Vermilion, South Dakota yet, but that's a lovely place as well. but the facilities that Youngstown State has built here are tremendous. This stadium is top-notch. This is nearly a 1A-type football stadium. The practice facility that I talked about earlier, gorgeous $14 million building. I mean, when you have these types of things in place, that makes it even tougher, I think, on the coach to look at it and say, look, you have everything you need here. You have the money, you have the facilities, you have a player base from which to choose.
Yeah.
You have to win some football games.
Yeah, and they really, when Wolford was hired, they made a huge investment, not only building an indoor facility, but they overhauled the locker rooms. They put in new turf. You know, they did a couple other cosmetic things, and they really upped the budget for the coaching staff as well, so we could hire great assistants. So, yeah, there was sort of a sense that we're going to give you everything you need to win, but you still need to win.
What do you get a sense tomorrow? I mean, I'll pick NDSU to win just from the stance of I haven't seen them lose very much for the last couple of years, and every time I seem to think that they're going to get beat, they come out and throttle somebody. So I may be biased because I see them play so much. But what's your sense of the way things are going to go tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I think that if, you know, obviously Youngstown State is good enough to beat them. I mean, they've shown that other than last year's game, that the series has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Youngstown State will beat them. I would say probably a 10-point loss seems like the most reasonable thing to expect. But the other thing is, I think when North Dakota State, when they are attentive and focused, it's hard to beat them. You've mm-hmm. seen that over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
The losses have been Indiana State, which I don't think anybody understands how that happened last year.
Well, Jensen threw two interceptions for touchdowns. That's how that happened, yeah. So.
But, I mean, they've been a little bit of the head-scratching variety rather than this is a big game and we're ready and, you know, kind of we lost it variety.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Jim Tressel, we mentioned him already. He's the former coach of Youngstown State that won 4 national championships, went on to Ohio State, a legend here in Youngstown. I had questioned earlier this week on a video blog if there was any awkwardness with honoring Tressel tomorrow because of some of the NCAA infractions that came out at Ohio State. And there was a couple, I think, in his background here, too, at Youngstown State. Mm-hmm. I got some pushback from folks. I think you wrote this morning in the paper that we can go soak our heads in Fargo if we think that Tressel is kind of a question mark. Explain to me, the importance of Jim Tressel to Youngstown and to Youngstown State. Because I've had a lot of people reach out and say, look, Mike, mm-hmm. we get where you're coming from, but this is what he meant to our community. And so that's why it's so important for him to be honored by Youngstown State.
Yeah, I think, two things. Number one, Youngstown is not the type of town that freaks out over a moral transgression or two. Although I think in Tressel's case,
okay.
In Tressel's case, I think people kind of say, look, this is overblown. And what he's meant to this community, I mean, he is the single most popular person in town and will be. And even in the midst of when it was going through that with Ohio State and the allegations about the tattoo gate scandal and everything, people didn't care because I've heard too many people talk about the positive things that he's done over and over and over again to know that, okay, he does have a couple of things in his background, but this guy is legit. He is a really good person who's done a lot of good things.
He was almost, well, I shouldn't say he was almost, but he was considered for the presidency here at the college, mm-hmm. wasn't he? At the university, wasn't he? And that there may have been some issues with his, I don't know if he has a PhD or whatever you need to be a president of a university, but his name came in the running for that even after some of the indiscretions at Ohio State.
Yeah, I would say if he was interested in that, he would be the president right now. That would be my guess. But I think he still would like to coach. There's rumors that he's at the University of Akron right now, which is about an hour away. There's rumors that he might be the interim president. There's rumors he might be the next president. I think he still might like to coach. But, he could do anything he want here. The fact that he doesn't have a PhD doesn't matter because I think he would be able to bring in money, which is, I think, probably the biggest thing a president can do right now.
Would there ever be the possibility where he could return to Youngstown State as the head coach, or is that chapter of his life moved on and he's on to bigger and better things?
I think once you've coached at Ohio State, it would be hard to go back.
It'd be kind of tough to come back to 1AA football.
It would be difficult. I think he obviously cares about this place immense amount. You look at the indoor facility; his name is on it. He donated a huge amount of money.
Yep.
He still is involved with this university, but I think that chapter is probably closed.
All right, Joe. Thank you. Thanks for dropping by. I appreciate it. And do I have to go soak my head, or can I wait till later on to do that? Is that?
I think that summed up probably what everybody at Youngstown would say. If you don't. Don't criticize Jim Tressel in town. You're going to hear an air force.
And I wrote a blog today, not backing off, but saying, okay, here is why Jim Tressel is so popular in Youngstown, yeah. Ohio. So it was a learning experience for me as well. Joe, thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure, no
Joe
problem.
Joe Scolza, he is the beat writer for Youngstown State.